Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. It is good to be here today. How about you? Amen. I'm looking for someone. Is Stephen here today? Stephen. That's a Stephen. Wrong one. Actually, I'm looking for my nephew. Is he here today? If you're here, no? All right, he was going to try to make it today, but unfortunately, he probably didn't. But he called me and said, I'm going to be coming and being with you. And he moved from Asheville down to Rutherford County, so he's still probably in the moving process. Everybody okay? All right. Thank you. Before we get started, I want everybody to stand up, please. All right, real quick, I want you to go to three people and say, Jesus is coming soon. Tell three people. Jesus is coming soon. Hey, brother, good to see you. He's coming soon, brother. Watch your step now. Amen. Bless you, brother. Good to have you today. Jesus is coming. Amen. He is. He's coming. Great. All right. Now, how many will be very... How many will be very honest with me and say, you told more than three people? Go tell it on the mountain, that's what I say. Go tell them, go tell it on the mountain. We're going to continue with our series of our spiritual warfare. I hope you've been getting something out of it. Thank you, both of you. thank you so much, but didn't do that for that, but the whole thing is I really value the time that God has given me to be able to be with you in this capacity, to be able to share with you, his people, what he has to say about today concerning whatever that subject is. It's an awesome thing, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about our victory lane, the great I am. Without him, we're not going to have victory, but we have him, so we have victory. We've been talking about the children of Israel being caught next to the Red Sea, and the chariots coming, and God just opens up the waters and they cross on dry land and destroy the enemy behind them. We've been talking about Israel at war with the Amalekites, and as long as Moses had his arms and his hands up with his staff, they could win the war. Well, you can't do that for so long, you know, so they wanted to continue to win the war. So Aaron and Hur got the arms and held them up so that they could win the war. Unusual things happen when God's people are wanting God and wanting to see him do the things that he can do. How many of you are looking for a miracle? It may not be for you, but it's for somebody else. How many of you are looking for a miracle? He's still in the miracle business. Israel was at war with the Amorites, and he caused the sun to stand still for over 23 hours and a few minutes in order for them to be able to finish the battle. Now, if God can do that, he can do anything. So you have to understand that God has got the very provision that you and I need at that very time, whatever that is. If it means that the sun's got to stand still, he'll make the sun stand still. So I don't know what it is you're seeing, what you really need from God. You need to see the fulfillment of it in him. We also saw that in the Battle of Jericho, he told them, said, I want you to march around the city 7 times, and on the 7th time, I want you to march around it 7 times that day. And after that, I want you to blow your trumpets, and I want you to shout. And that's a huge city. And it's like, that does not make sense to me. And it didn't to them. But they were obedient. And the walls, after they did that, the walls fell straight down. An unusual way of doing battle. But God is the God of the unusual as well. Amen. Jehoshaphat, he was at war against two different armies. And didn't know what they was going to do. And he sought the Lord. And the prophet stood up and said, all right, here's what God is saying. Here's what God is saying. Get your singers, praise team, I want you to stand up. Praise team, stand up. Praise team, stand up. Dancers, stand up. All right. He said, see, the reason I include dancers is he called, and those in holy attire. He's speaking of the dancers. He's speaking of the singers. He's speaking of the dancers. He said, now, they're here to battle for you, battle against you. I mean, they're here to battle against you, but here's what you got to do. So all these 10 or 12 people for us, all these 10 or 12 people, you get ready and you go face the enemy with a song and dance. And the Bible said this, he routed the enemy, set ambushes for them, and defeated them. You may be seated. Now, the thing is, we need to understand, this is God's way. He's not going to do the same thing every time. But he'll do what he knows has got to be done. So you and I cannot put the expectations that came from me. The expectations come from him. That's what the Bible said. The expectations come from the Lord. Yes. Our expectations should come from the Lord, are coming from the Lord. So what are you expecting? Is it what God is expecting? Or is it our own selfishness? So he says that. Now, after that, we talked about Ephesians 6 and about the armor of God and about how it is that it's, the time remaining is what he's saying. This is what we got to do, and this is what we got to know. He has empowered us. He has given us everything that we need to be able to do everything that he wants us to do. That's the reason he said, and put this armor on while you're at it. He said, I've already enabled you. So go ahead and put this armor on, because it's his armor. Go ahead and put the armor on, but I've already empowered you. I've already enabled you. We oftentimes go around trying to power ourselves up, trying to build our own self up, trying to do what we think we need to do in our own being to be able to please God and to be able to get him to act. But he says in Ephesians, he said, I've already given you this. You don't have to lift weights. You don't have to run 10 miles. You don't have to get in shape. He said, I've empowered you to do what I've given you to do. Oh, he's worthy of all of that. He's worthy of that. So in that, the next thing we talked about, and we'll go on to what we're going to talk about today, but the next thing we talked about was 2 Corinthians 10 about the warfare, and it says it's about tearing down strongholds. He says, you tear them down. You have been empowered, as we said before, to tear down the strongholds, the very things that sets itself against you. And then he talks about taking every thought, which I thought was extremely key for me. He said, I want you to take every thought captive. I want you to capture every thought and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. It's not, once again, it's not just taking, holding a prisoner. No, it's taking them captive to the obedience of Christ. And when, because when he says that, he says, that lie, that thing that's come against you, has come against you to hurt you. But I'm telling you to take that thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ, and he will turn that thought into fighting for you. Why? Because it has to obey Christ. That's the reason he says, in the end, what? Every what? Knee. It, how many?
Every.
How many?
Every.
How many?
Every.
Every knee will bow. Every knee of every lie, every knee of everything that comes up against God, he said, everything will bow to him. He is God. And he said, that thought will fight for you instead of against you. That's the reason it's very important for us to be able to say, okay, I hear that lie. I hear that lie. I'm going to take that lie and I'm going to bring it to the truth. I'm going to bring it to the obedience of Christ. What does Christ say about it? How many of you have ever asked what you got to say about this, God? Well, I ask that a lot. I ask it all the time. What do you have to say about this, Lord? Something comes up, all this. I don't know what it is. What we got to say? What do you have to say about this, Lord? See, there's our agreement. There's our submission. There's our surrender. We need to do that with him. Now, here's the next one I want to talk about. You can write this down if you want to. I don't have notes today up there, but we must develop an outspoken spiritual currency. We must develop an outspoken. How many of you know what outspoken means? Well, do it for me. Some of you know what it means. What does outspoken mean? Do it for me. More and more beginning to understand. Outspoken, what does it mean? Do it for me. That's about three-fourths. That's about three-fourths. Here we go. We got to get there. Outspoken means to what?
Speak out.
Say it again.
Speak out.
Speak out. Outspoken. We must develop an outspoken, not one that's timid, not one that's hiding, not one that's holding back, not one that's saying, now's not the right time. And so sometimes you're right about that. He said, we must develop an outspoken verbal or spiritual currency. Currency is what you value. What do your words value? Does it value the lie more than it values the truth? Does it value what the enemy says about you, what somebody's talking about? Does it value that, or does it value what God is saying? Our currency needs to be what God says. And we must develop that currency. Now, let's go to Hebrews 10. I will show you this. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, talking about the law, being under the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things. The law was only a shadow. It wasn't the real thing. It wasn't the real form. It's just a shadow of it. That's what the law was. And that's what the law is. And it was not the form of things. It can never do the same by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. What is he saying? The law will not make you perfect, make you mature in drawing near. Won't do it. Can't do it. So what does that mean to me? Does that mean just the Old Testament? No. That is the law that I feel that I have to do outside of God in order to attain what it is that God says I can attain. You know what I'm saying? You know, I run into people a lot of times. Well, how you doing? Well, I'm trying to do what? You know, I'm trying to make it. Now, what do you mean trying to make it? Is he not making it? And because he's not making it, now you got to try to do it? Are you with me? Well, I'm trying to be good. Well, how's that working out for you? I'm trying this. I'm doing my best. That ain't good enough. What do you mean you're doing your best? Your best is going to fall short. Your best is not enough. Your best will never make it. See, that's a law. That's something of a law inside you that says, if I just do this, then. So he goes on and says, the law in your belief system of saying, I've got to make sure that I make all these check marks in order to be able to attain what it is that God wants me to attain. It doesn't lift up to your check marks, your ability of your check marks, nor mine. He said, otherwise, well, they have not ceased to be offered because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin. Powerful statement that we often just slide right by. What he's saying here, he said, if the law, if all these rules, if all these things that you think you got to do to be able to make it, which you're not going to make it that way, had you made it under the law, he said, you wouldn't have to done that law anymore because it would have cleansed you and you would have no consciousness of sin. What is Jesus saying? Jesus saying that he goes on, he says this, for the those sacrifices, there is a reminder, there's still a reminder of sin year by year, and it is impossible for blood and goats. For the blood of goats, bulls and goats, to take away sin. What is he saying? He said, this legalistic mindset that you have, this thing about you making sure that you obey the law, making sure that you're under the law instead of grace, under the law, it will never remove the consciousness of your sins. And I've got news for you today. There's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of Christians. A lot of us are more conscious about sins than we are about righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm getting the feeling that he wants to do away with that conscious, being sin conscious all the time. Said, okay, I got to make sure. Is this a sin? So always conscious, always thinking about, is this a sin? Is this a sin? No, is what we need to be thinking, is this righteousness? Is this righteousness? Is this God's way? Is this God's way? That's what he made us. He said, I have taken your sin, every one of them, once and for all, from now on. I've paid for it, I've taken it, and I've removed them from it. So no longer should you have a consciousness of sin, because he says right here, having once been cleansed, you won't have a consciousness of sin. What do you have a consciousness of? Righteousness. He said, I have taken your sin, and I have given you my righteousness. So what do you think about? Do you think about the right things of God, the Word of God, what he wants you to do, how he wants you to do it, his way? Or are you thinking about it, making sure we don't miss one little peek? See, we think we're good enough to fine-tune our walk with God to not sin. Not true. Won't happen. Not left up to you or me. It was done by him. The reason we have his righteousness is because he took, everybody say, he took my sins. Which ones did he leave behind for you? Which one did he say, I took them all? I took them all, but this one for you. Which one did he said, I'm going to let you take care of this one? None of them. Took them all. Took them all. That's the reason he said, having once been cleansed, you don't concentrate on sin anymore. You concentrate on righteousness. I've taken your sin and I've given you my righteousness. That's him. That's him. And verse 11, so which one do you want to, which one do you live? You want to live with a consciousness of sin? You know, I was taught when I was little to have a consciousness of sin when I was in church. You know what one of the phrases were? God's going to get you. What was I conscious of? Doing something he's going to get me of. God, hey boy, got to get you for that. What are they building in me? A consciousness of sin, not a consciousness of righteousness. See, that is the old way of doing things and the law. The law, see, the high priest would go in once a year and make the sacrifices for the people before God, before the Holy of Holies. He'd do that once a year. But he had to do it every year. Why? Because when that year was up, guess what? Time's up, got to do it again. Why? Because it didn't cleanse you. It did not cleanse you. It satisfied the holiness of God for that one year. This is part of our warfare, people. If we cannot believe, think, and stand this way in Him, then we will lose battles down the road because we will begin to waver. Verse 11, we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been sanctified. Tell somebody beside you, we have been sanctified. And I asked, how many of you used that word this past week, sanctified? Well, it's not a word that we go around using a lot. You hear what I'm saying? Is it? I believe I'm going to sanctify this. I'm going to sanctify. No. He said, we are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. So how did we get sanctified? Blood of Jesus. When? Once and for all. Once and for all. Having, verse 12, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. Who was the first one for? All people. Who's the sacrifice for? For what time? All time. Well, what's that mean? Jesus ain't got to die again. Jesus don't have to go do that again. Why? He did it one time. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. You know what that means? Done once, never to be repeated again. That's what that means. Never to be repeated again. Why? Because he did it for all people. And he did it for all time. So he goes on and he says this. Now, that's just the introduction of what I'm about to tell you today. It's just the introduction. Why did you need the introduction? Because you got to get your thinking right. You got to be able to get your verbalization. You got to get your currency right and what you value. Do you value more about what you're trying to do more than what he's already done? Which one has the greatest value to you? What you're trying to do or what he's already done? So let's look at this. Let's look at verse 19. Since, therefore. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute. Why? Because what he's saying here, since, therefore, brethren. Since. What is he saying? He said, I'm about to tell you something extremely important because of what I just got through saying. I just got through saying something that my next statement to you is extremely important, because everything I'm about to tell you hinges on what I've already said. Do you get it? Hinges on what I've already said. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence or boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. We have confidence. Now, we think we go around and says, okay, confidence. So I've got to build up confidence to be able to enter it. No, you don't. No, don't. He didn't say, now therefore, build up some confidence so you can enter in. He didn't say that. Did he? But we often say, okay, that word also means bold. Be bold. He didn't say, build up some boldness so you'll be able to enter in because of the blood of Jesus. He didn't say, build anything up. He said, we what? Say it loud.
We have.
What I just got through telling you, you have now. You have. You have boldness. This word boldness means, are you ready for this? We think it's like be bold as a lion and be have the courage of mighty men. And that's not what he's talking about. What's he talking about, Pastor? Well, this is a great place for me to say, I'll tell you next week. But I won't do that. So what is he talking about, Pastor? That word means outspoken. You got it? Outspoken. To have a verbal, spiritual currency. Outspoken. So here's the thing about it. How outspoken are you about everything that Christ has done for you? You hear what I'm saying? How outspoken are you? When's the last time you got in a real great dialogue with somebody saying to this other person with an outspoken way of, this is what he's done for me. This is what he's doing for me. I used to do this, but I don't do that anymore because this is what he's done. An outspokenness, a verbal, spiritual currency. So I venture to say that a lot of Christians barely talk about him. I'm not saying you. I'm saying that there's probably a lot of Christians that barely do ever talk about him, except on Sunday. See, this is not what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. The writer of Hebrews said, you need to be outspoken. Demonstrate outspoken for me again. Say it. Say the word outspoken in demonstration.
Outspoken.
Do it again.
Outspoken.
Do it again.
Outspoken.
One more time.
Outspoken.
That's different than just sitting there saying nothing. That's different than saying, yeah, I go to church. You hear what I'm saying?
He said,
yeah, say so. Yes, that's exactly right. Outspokenness. He said, by this outspokenness, you're able to enter into the holy place. Now, since you've been a Christian, have you found that holy place that you need to enter into? That physical holy, have you found that physical place that you need to enter into? No, there is no physical place. What is he talking about? That holy place is his presence. You're able to enter into his presence. We used to be excluded from going before God. There was a veil. There was a big curtain about one foot thick. Can't go in there. Why? The Holy of Holies, that's his presence. Only the high priest could go, and only once a year. And he had to be real ready to be able to go. Otherwise, they would drag him out because they would tie a rope to him. And if he didn't have everything squared away in his own life, he would die in the presence of God and they'd have to drag him out. Enter into his presence. Outspokenness. I spent time with the Lord this morning. Why? Because I can. Because he said, come. Because he said, the door is open. Because he said, Jesus made the way for you to get in. And because he said, when you get here, you can say anything you want to me out of your heart. Instead of having somebody else to pray for. I can't pray for myself. You go pray for me. Now, we need other people praying, but we don't have to have a priest or a high priest or whatever or whomever doing the things that we need to be doing ourselves. Why? Because he said, no. I've taken that out of the way, and I've opened up everything. And the Bible says that when he gave up, he gave up his last shout when he was on the cross. His last shout of his spirit leaving him. The Bible says that at that moment, the veil, the one foot thick veil, was ripped, torn, not from the bottom up. Man had nothing to do with it. It was torn from the top down. Why? God. God said, I made the way through Jesus. Through Jesus. And come. He said, come boldly. Come with a very verbal saying, oh God, I love you. And because of Jesus, I come. He said, you'll find grace in your time of need. So when do you go? A lot of times, when you need something. Well, when do you need something? Somebody want to answer that? You're right. You're right. All the time, it's when you need something. Then he says this, and I've got to hurry. Then he says this in verse 22. All right, since then, we've talked all about this. You've got your thinking right. You're believing the word. You're not concentrating on sin. You're concentrating on righteousness. And you're concentrating on the things that Jesus has done for you. He made it possible. He said, let us, in verse 22, let us draw near. What does draw near mean? People think, well, I got to get closer to the Lord. Once again, we're working in order to be able to get closer. You're telling me that I've got to work to get closer in order to be able to have what it is that he's given me? Mm-mm. See, this word draw near means approach. Say approach. Let us now approach. Let us now walk in. Let us now walk in. When? Now. When? For you, when can you approach God? Which one? When can you do it? Right now. Approach with a sincere heart. What does that mean? With a sincere heart. It means you're genuine about it. You're not playing around with it. You're not playing church. You're not playing religion. Why? Because it's genuine, it's authentic, and it's heartfelt. In full assurance, in faith. assurance of what? What am I assured of? Well, he finishes that out with this. Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, if I don't understand what he's saying, I'm thinking I'm going to have to sprinkle my heart with blood. Or I'm going to have to go take a bath. Are y'all listening to me at all? I'm going to have to go take a bath, and I'm going to have to go kill something and sprinkle some blood on my heart. Nope. 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 So what does this mean? This having means, in the Greek, it is present passive. What does that mean? It's done one time for you, and it's done by an outside source other than you. What does that mean? It means he's done it for you one time. What does it mean? It means he sprinkled it. He made the sprinkle for your heart. Why is my heart clean? Why is my heart clean? Because he made it clean. Why am I cleansed? He said up here, he said, once being cleansed, you don't have to even worry about the consciousness of sin anymore. So why am I cleansed? Because he cleansed me. Why? He did it one time in my past. One time. And it continues as I live. But he did it with an outside source through Jesus Christ. An outside source, an outside power did this for you and me. That's what this passage means. Having done it by him, he did it for us. Let's look at 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. What does he mean? It means this: let us retain what he's already given us. Hang on to it. So the thing is, take hold. I tell you what. If you know the person beside you, take hold of them. Take hold of their hand. If you don't know them, ask them, can I take hold of you? do you see what I'm saying? They've been there beside you, but now what have you done? You've took hold of them. You hear what I'm saying? He said, you can let each other go. Let us take hold of the confession of our hope. By the way, he didn't say confess your salvation. We need to confess our salvation, but this passage, he said, take hold of confessing your hope. What's your hope? Does anybody in here have hope? If you don't have hope, you're not going to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why do you have hope? Because he said it. Oh, my goodness. And he says, without wavering. What does it mean? He said, take hold of this without wavering. What does without wavering mean? It means without leaning toward another direction to do it. Without wavering, it means that I will not lean toward obeying the law in order to attain it anymore. See, iniquity is a bent toward being sinful. I'm leaning into it. I might have done it today, but guess where my lean is? Toward that. What does that mean? I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Because I'm leaning that way. He said, but you do this confession of your hope without any lean. Without any leaning toward another direction to make it right. Listen, I had somebody tell me one time before, said, you probably need somebody to pray for you, you know, or maybe you need to go through some healing. I'll heal myself. You understand? No, I'll heal myself. So you're holding back on doing it for yourself already? When is self going to get ready to heal you? You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's this confidence that we can do this. We can't. Without him, we can't do anything. Our dependency has got to be completely upon him. Our warfare thrives. We're successful in our warfare because we're completely dependent upon him. He says, don't waver, don't lean toward anything else, because he who promised it, what is he? He's faithful. What does that mean? He'll do what he said. He don't lie. He'll do what he says. Might not be with your and my timing, but he'll do it. Let's look at this last one here. And like I said, I'm still in the introduction, by the way, but we'll get there. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So I look at this and I said, okay. I said, we got three heads of lettuce. Never mind, I shouldn't have used that. I knew that came to my mind and I wrote it down. And I said, three heads of lettuce. It's just a garden variety right here of lettuce. Let us draw near. Let us approach. Let us hold fast. Let us return. And let us consider. Let us consider. Consider what? How to stimulate one another to love. To love people. Stimulate people to love people. Stimulate people to do good works. How are you going to do that? Well, the next verse says, not forsaking your own assembling together. What is he saying? Whenever you're assembling together. Now, when are we assembled together here today? Today, on Sunday. That's an assembly point for us. He said, don't forsake that. Why? Because that is an opportunity for you and I to be able to speak. The courage to love people, the courage to do good deeds to one to another. He has made the body in such a way that we are to communicate, to create that verbal, that spiritual currency that encourages people to love. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever run across anybody? I'm not going to say in the church, but has anybody ever run across anybody that was having trouble loving people? No, nobody in here has run across. I got one person, two, three, four, five. Okay, we're catching on. Has anybody in here ever run across anybody that had trouble loving others? Absolutely. How many of you have run across your own self and you had trouble loving other people? Why? Let me ask you this. Sometimes, by the way, I said sometimes. Sometimes, do you have trouble loving people today? Raise your hand. We got honest folk. You know what you stand in need of? You stand in need of the assembly of somebody coming to you saying, love people. He first loved you. How are you going to do that? He first loved you. Because he first loved you while you were still a sinner, you need to love. Do good deeds. Then again, not forsaking the assembly. Not forsaking. What does that mean? He said, he goes on, he said, but encouraging one another all the more while the day is drawing near. What day is he talking about? Jesus coming. Jesus coming. What is he saying? I'm putting some urgency in my house. I'm putting some urgency in my church. I'm coming back. That's what he said. I'm coming back. You can bank on it. I'm coming back. So you need to prepare people for me coming, because I'm coming. So we begin to see that we have three exhortations here. Draw near. To approach. To hold fast. To retain. To grab hold of what he's given you. Grab hold of what you already have. We try so much to attain this position, and he is telling us, I've already given you that position. You know what that is? Good news. Good news. You don't have to work to get it. He's already done the work for you to have it. That's the reason he was on the cross and said, it is finished. It's over. Let us consider. So we have an open invitation to come. We have an open invitation to access his provision. Grab hold of his position, of his, grab hold of it. Saying, oh man, that's good. I want, that's mine. I already have it. That's mine. It belongs to me. There's a commercial that goes out, and I used to do it a lot, and I'd see this, and this little kid had something he wasn't going to share, and he said, mine, 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 this is mine. But see, the last one he says, now you're an open relationship with me and with my people. That's when you give what you have to his people. Love and good deeds. Now, how did we lose this position? How did we lose this place of grabbing hold of what it is that God wanted us to have? How do we lose that? I'll tell you how. Number one, we will drift. Tell your neighbor, drift. We will drift from the Word. We will begin to drift. Just ever so slightly, drift away from the Word. That will lead you to doubt the Word. I'm drifting from the Word. Did he really say? Oh, wow, I remember that. Did he really say? Sound like in the garden. Did he really say? So you begin to doubt the Word. So first you'll start drifting away from the Word. Then you'll start doubting the Word. And then the last thing you'll do is become dull to the Word. All of this is in Hebrews. Every bit of it's in Hebrews. The dull to the Word, are you ready for that? You become lazy spiritually. In other words, everything else about your life seems to flourish, but your spiritual part of your life is lazy. Why is that? Dullness to the Word of God. Why? Just lazy. I don't have time. I heard one man tell me one time, said about going to church and going and being with God's people, and he said, "I don't have time for that." I said, I looked at him and I said, "Not now, you don't, but you will." What are you saying? I'm saying you will. Well, when's that going to happen? Sometime. It's going to happen. You're going to cry out. You're going to cry out for God. You're going to cry out for God's people. One day you're going to cry out saying, "Hey." Okay. I'm done with the introduction. Did you learn anything today? Doug,
thank you, Pastor Terry. Just before we close out, I know that sometime we move from this place to a home or to a restaurant so quickly that we forget about what we heard or what we learned. And I had come to my mind through some meetings that we had this week that somebody needs to take out some time and to ask someone, "Have you received Christ in your life?" There's a scripture in the Bible, and I think most of us have read it, says that if thou shalt confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou wilt be saved. This morning, I want to take just that time, and those that have to go to eat and do all the other things, you can go. But if there's someone here that would like to receive Christ in their life, sometimes we go too fast and move to the place where we've forgotten about why we even came here. If you're here this morning, we will take some time to take some time with you. We can take you down, and if they eat all the spaghettis up before then, we'll buy you some at the nearest restaurant and hope that God will save your soul.
We're going down there to eat.
That's what we're going down there to eat, spaghettis. If there's someone that would take some time out for your life, take some time out. I'll stay here and pray with you and go over the scriptures with you on what God can do with your life. I'm not going to testify this morning, but I'll do this on a later day. I was lost in a world of sin, and I never thought I could ever recover from it. But God sent one man. Sent a man. You have to understand, I done got so far lost, I was in jail, but God sent a man by the jail to tell me about the saving grace of God. And you know what? And lifted it, opened the gates and let me out. And I've been telling other people about the saving grace of God. I know that he can change your life if you will allow him.
Amen. Okay, you can stand to your feet. Anybody wants to surrender today and say, "Look, I've played religion long enough. I've played church long enough. Now's the time for me to have that sincere heart. Now's the time for me to have that sincere approach to God. And I'm ready for that." And if you're ready for that, come on forward. Anybody ready for that, come forward. Okay. All right. Y'all ready to go eat? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the richness of your word. Thank you for the richness of your work. Thank you for the richness of your provision to us. And we thank you for the food today that we're about to partake of. We ask your blessings upon the people. We ask your blessings upon the youth as they prepare to go to the conference. We want to say we love you, we worship you, and we surrender again afresh our lives brand new to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.